Our guest today is the director of the Department of Employment Security in Illinois. He served in the General Assembly for 10 years from West Central Illinois. Our guest today also served as president of the Illinois Business Roundtable, an association of corporate business leaders. He earned his bachelor's degree in history from Northwestern University. Our guest today hails from Quincy, Illinois. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Mays. Jeff.
What a pleasure to be here and see so many friends from so many years of work and endeavor here. This is always one of the neatest venues that's out there, Jay and Jackie and all. It's the opportunity to get the network going and to get the message out. And I really, really appreciate Amanda's work and all your staff's work in helping put this day together for us. And I truly appreciate all of my staff's work, which you'll be hearing about coming along. We've got Jim McDonough, my chief of staff. Stand up. Lizbeth Leaños. Dolores Simon. So, good folks. And you know, they've all, I mean, they've been a part of the change that I'm going to be describing to you as we move forward. I'm going to see if this clicker works. There we are. I think you saw at the beginning, there's a turnaround that's happening in all of the agencies right now, and it's in keeping with the theme that the governor has created from the get-go about his turnaround agenda. Now, when you're talking about turnaround, you've got the titanic battle that's going on right now between the governor and the legislature and so on. And those are the kinds of things that really do make headlines. Those are the kinds of things when you bring those folks in, the room is packed because everybody knows something about it and they've got a feeling, they've got a sentiment about it, and so on. It's in that kind of a theme, though, that I wanted to share with you some of the other turnaround stuff that's going on here. And so, can you all hear me just fine? Okay. This is in the context of the overarching thing. Each executive agency like ours at IDES, or DOIT, or you name it, IDOT, Department of Revenue, they've all submitted plans in the very first 6 months of their leadership with the agencies that focuses on how they're going to be turning their agency around, if you will, improving the services to the folks. Now, there's a statewide context for turnaround, and you can't, you know, I think you're going to be hearing this as a recurring theme as the election seasons get on, but you can see there's an employment growth issue here in Illinois, and I don't care how you cut it. You know, some people can frame it nice by picking this month and doing the 2 years from there. They can make it look better. But the bottom line is, and this is just off of the most recent data that we've had from July of earlier this summer, going back, you can see here's the growth rate for the state of Illinois, 0.51% from 15 to 16 and 0.34% from 15 to 17. Chicago Metro, which is the economic engine of the state, okay? And it's tough for a downstater to say that, but it truly is. But you can see, and this metro area goes all the way to Kendall, McHenry, Lake, Will, and so on. You can see, I mean, they've had more robust growth than us, almost twice as much, in employment. Then you get down to Lake and Porter counties of Indiana, and you can see while they're smaller than the Chicago metro area, the growth rate they've had has been twice as much even as Chicago metro. And look at the rest of the state. It just makes us cry almost. And then you've got Kenosha and Rock counties in Wisconsin, just to the north of us. And you can see the kind of employment growth that they've had. We need that growth. We want that growth. How we get to that growth is, I think, going to be the big topic for discussion, And I know the governor's got his ideas, and there's going to be plenty of others that are going to be coming out. But this is a problem, and we cannot sustain the state unless we get the kind of growth that we've had at least from the Midwest region, which we're lacking in. This is the unemployment statewide context for a turnaround. You can see the unemployment numbers have dropped significantly in all of those areas. That's people like me that are probably getting to the point where they don't want to be in a labor force anymore, okay? So you got a lot of labor force declines that are driving the bulk of the decline in unemployment. Unemployed people aren't necessarily getting employed. That's the point of this slide. And the more that we can make those kinds of connections and get guys my age to stick around a little bit longer, I think the better it's going to be. But in any case, the unemployed is another part of the statewide context. And this is a pretty busy slide, but it basically shows you, you know, what you saw there is what's past. These are projections that we've put together in my agency, our agency, that basically shows what has been in the blue in terms of the unemployment rate, and then our projections going forward for the next 4 to 8 quarters, or actually 4 years there. You can see it's going to be pretty much the same if we keep it in the same, if there's not something that shakes it up a little bit. Okay, we're suggesting there'll be about 5.3% for the next 4 years. That's not good. I mean, we're 9 years into a recovery. It should be better than that. So that's the statewide context. What I want to go now to is an agency context. They know, you know, people, if they know about our agency, they generally know, you know, we are the unemployment agency. We manage and administer for the U.S. Department of Labor the unemployment insurance program. Make sure that people are getting the right amount, getting it in a timely manner, that people aren't playing and gaming the systems. So we administer the unemployment trust fund. That's everybody, if they know about our agency, would say that's what we do. But we also provide employment services to both the employer and the claimants, the job seekers. We also provide labor market information, like you saw in the previous three slides, which give you the context for what the economic health is of our state. And then something that people just don't connect. We administer the unemployment insurance tax system, which fuels the benefits that we push out the door. Further agency context, and this is just going to focus on the unemployment and the tax. When we were putting together our agenda for turnaround, it's about improving touches, okay? On the claimant side, we have basically 6 million touches with unemployed people every year. And we do it through the original claims filing. We do it through their certifications, their recertifications, their adjudications, you name it. There's at least 6 million touches on the claimant side alone involving unemployment insurance. What we're going to be talking about today is the 2 million touches that every employer that we have with every employer in this state. There's 385,000 employers that are registered with our tax system. People don't know it, but 70,000 of those 385,000 file with us monthly. Everybody else files quarterly. So there's 1.2 million touches with that alone, with the quarterly filings, and then you've got the other 840,000 with the monthly touches. Those are very real and frustrating touches, or they have been for the employer community for a long, long time. So we want to improve our touches. That's what we're calling our turnaround. This is another agency context that people just don't quite connect. I show you the graph of the unemployment and how it's down right now. Well, your unemployment insurance taxes in Illinois have actually gone down, and people don't understand that. But you can see pretty starkly from 2012, which was before me, 9.45%, and they've gone down to 7.35% this past year, and they'll go down again, I assume, in November when we put those new rates out. So that's another thing people don't understand that the tax rates in Illinois are not that uncompetitive as when it comes to the unemployment insurance taxes, and they're going the right way. One other context, and this is huge, because I don't want anything I say to be a reflection like I'm trying to slam the past. This agency, which I have come to love, has gone through a lot of changes. And the people that are there have been buffeted by these changes. And in the previous administration, the change that they had to deal with was not good. But they dealt with it as well as they possibly could. You had a budget declining from the federal government. As unemployment insurance claimants fall, the amount of money we get from the federal government to manage the system goes down too. They actually sustained a $40 million, almost $50 million reduction in basic administrative funding in a very, very short period of time. They had to bring the agency to meet the resource. Okay, this is a key thing. You got to do it. And it's not fun. They went from 1,808 people in 2012 to 1,193. We're about 1,105 right now. They closed two-thirds of the local field offices that they had. Can you imagine? Whether it's a Republican town or a Democrat town, those folks felt it. You know, at the same time, they invested in technology. They went from, what, 10% claims filed online to about 70 to 80% claims filed online as they were closing. They had to do this. They also had to manage the trust fund when it was going deeply, deeply in the red. And Illinois chose to issue bonds. The employer community led the discussion. We're going to issue bonds. We will raise our minimum tax rate a little bit to pay those bonds off. And by the way, you can see they issued about $1.8 billion in bonds. When we came in, there was about a billion still outstanding, and we paid off the last bond in June. So we're solid again. Okay, but we're not a stranger. The agency is not a stranger to change. This change was something they had to do. They did it as well as they possibly could. The change I'm going to be describing to you about improving the touches that we've got is basically moving our resource to our mission. So we want to, you know, everything you see, these five pieces that you see here are all designed to improve our touches, whether it's on the claimant side or on the taxpayer side, the employer side. We start with My Tax Illinois. I'm going to go really deep into that in a little bit, so I'm not going to linger on that here. We went into an enterprise resource program. Our systems, Monica, you can vouch for this. We got a 1975 payroll system. We're still filling out forms by hand and submitting them, and people got an account form and enter them and all that other stuff. We've got a procurement system that's crazy. We had an inventory system that was archaic. We had accounts receivables, accounts payables, all of it. You know, when they were reducing the headcounts because they had to in the previous administration, a lot of those back office things got slammed. The process couldn't be fixed because they didn't have the resource. They were just trying to stay up with what they got. So, but we decided we were going to raise our hand, and we were one of the first four pilot agencies in the state to sign on to the enterprise resource program that the governor was putting forth. The goal was put in a new system, retire all of these old legacy systems that you can't hardly even program anymore. Okay? We doubled down on the previous administration's investment in fraud. And we put $11.5 million from our administrative accounts to retire two old legacy systems, BART's and ORS. One's in any case, we came out with OATS, another acronym. So the new system retires two old ones. With this $11.5 million investment, we've already been able to establish $42 million in taxpayer offset program non-fraud debt. So the federal treasury, when they get a refund request from somebody that owes us money, are going to send us that check first. So $11.5 million spend, $42.5 million basically was established right out of the box last December as the first piece of this program to come in. just last week, the second big piece came in. We started actually doing the monthly reporting on wages, and we're cross-matching that against unemployment that is drawn. And anybody that knows the system is, you cannot be drawing a wage and getting an unemployment insurance check at the same time. Just can't do it. Well, with this one, with the first week under our belt, which we launched August 29th on that, we've already established 225 liable accounts. We're anticipating that this will save the trust fund $162 million over the course of a year when we're fully up and running, when we're fully staffed, and when the employer community is sending us back those forms that verify the liability that our programs have established. We can't auto-adjudicate these things. We have to establish that liability. So we're really going to be, after this tax thing I'm going to talk about is done, we're going to be really reaching out to the employer community on how to help us combat fraud. Because we're identifying it. We need their help before we can collect it. We've doubled down on the reemployment initiative. And we started that last July 1 with a simple thing. We simply required people that are drawing unemployment insurance to register for work. Now, everybody was really torn up about that and twisted up and worried about how that's going to be accepted out in the community. Well, you know, everybody's doing it. We're required by federal law to do it. And it really went off without a hitch. That does not mean it wasn't a huge lift for our technology folks in our agency and our service delivery folks. Smooth as can be. Big lift. And that's probably saved, just that registration alone, at least $10 to $12 million for the trust fund every year. And then UI service improvement, within the next month, depending on when I get due its certification, we're going to be able to recertify on your mobile phone if you're a claimant. You're going to be able to work through a claims application form that was created back in the early 2000s that has been completely revised and should be a heck of a lot easier for claimants to fill out. Those are the five things. They touch the claimants big. We've also got a major initiative with our call centers. Bottom line, that those five things touch every employee in our agency, and it's changed everybody's jobs, and they also are designed to improve those 8 million touches. Now, I'm going deep on the tax piece because this is the one that's keeping a lot of people up at night right now. A lot of people, you know, if you knew that we collected the tax, you probably didn't know that that is the largest single employer tax paid in Illinois. It's $2.3 billion. It's more than the corporate income tax. We got 329 letters that we've devised over all these years to tell people you owe us this and why didn't you pay. But the bottom line is it's a big deal, and it's the largest single tax employers pay. 4 out of 5 of our tax applications are 25 to 30 years old. And even the browser, which gives us a happy face, is 1998. It's extraordinarily difficult to navigate for employers, and a lot of folks have just dropped off over the years. They're costly to maintain. We had to go to monthly reporting as an agency before this administration. The last one had to do that. They had to do it on an archaic system or a group of systems. That they even were able to do it at all is amazing. But the bottom line is we needed to change it, and it was one of those top priorities that we teed up with the governor almost right away. This is an example I use. I mean, I started this road trip back in April because this tax system, we're going to be changing it, okay? So the Red Bud Chamber, I said, you know, here's an example. We are still sending out 100,000 quarterly tax packets to employers every quarter. Then we get 100,000 back if we're lucky, and a lot of those will have checks if we're lucky, and then we got to deal with all that. With a staff in revenue that went from 280 people in 2012 to 151 people today. Not happening. It could not possibly happen. So we had to come up with a better way. And we felt moving to a, tax collection is a big deal for us, but it doesn't have to be. There's another agency called the Illinois Department of Revenue that does a lot of tax collection. They actually collect 200 taxes. Their system was basically improved and updated back in 2008-09. And so we, and they also had an unemployment insurance module that they opted not to turn on back then because it was going to cost them money. So what we did, we went to DOR, got their system, Fast Enterprise, Gentax. Right now, it's got a lot of good buy-in from the employer community on all those other taxes. It's been in place for 10 years, so it's stable. It was a great base to build from. So we decided in April of 2015 to propose this to the governor. It was going to cost another $11.5 million, but leadership felt that it was something that needed to be done to improve those taxes or the tax touches. We couldn't do it without doing something like this. So these are this partnership, and I'm telling you it's a partnership. I've got 151 folks in my revenue department. They've got a whole bunch of other folks in there, and all of us have been pulling together to make this whole thing happen in a period of 14 months. We're going to have one-stop shop for every employer for registration. We're going to have additional modernization opportunities or other agencies because we upgraded revenues-based system when we did ours. There are other agencies that can come on, which is pretty exciting, and I don't know that I'm at liberty to even mention who those other agencies are, but there will be others that can come on now that we've done this. We can increase the compliance and fraud efforts. I mean, I know I've got a great fraud program as far as it goes, but I don't do IP addresses. I don't do bank accounts like I should. They do. So we're going to be able to benefit from their place. They'll be able to benefit from our programs. We will be improving the collections processes. I mean, already we've reconciled. We had 385,000 employer accounts in our agency for taxes. Department of Revenue had 335,000. Big difference between the two. Why? Well, we've been going through a huge reconciliation process, but in the meantime, as a result of that, their records are great, our records are great, they're up to date, and we'll be able to, if somebody's paying us taxes but not Connie, or the Department of Revenue, they're going to be able to flag that and vice versa. And it's going to continue to drive cost efficiency. I cannot tell you. We've got audits. We've got collections. We've got all of the things to establish the debt. All of those things are going to be addressed in this new system. So what we've been doing is reaching out to employers. At the huddle this morning, I was talking to Algie Crivens, and he's one of the key players behind all of this transition from the revenue standpoint in our department. And he told me that every service bureau has been touched at least 10 times in the last month about this upcoming change. We sent them PIN numbers. We've telling them what, all this stuff. So we've been doing a very aggressive outreach on the internet, on the intranet. It's not just been our agency. It's been Do It. It's been Department of Revenue. It's been the whole group, because 385,000 employers are going to have a completely new experience effective Monday. So we've already ended the printing and mailing of the quarterly packets. We discontinued the current quarterly zero-wage telefiling system, which cost us money. We eliminated the credit card payment option. I mean, we had 5,000 of our 385,000 accounts that paid by credit card. It cost us more than we were collecting. So we just stopped. I mean, that has stopped as of last week. And we will be decommissioning, we decommissioned TaxNet 2 days ago so we can transition it over. We decommissioned Wiz. BFS is going offline tonight at 5:37. Falcon is going or went offline last week. I mean, all of these old systems have been wrapped into this new one for one stop. It's happening. And September 11th, new employers are going to have one place to register. They'll be able to see all their tax correspondence. And let me talk about that a little bit. 369 letters. You know, we got it down to 70 templates, and they've all been run through the plain language mill. So you're not, I'm hopeful that when you get correspondence from this agency, it's going to be much more understandable, and you'll know what the heck to do with it when you get it. Okay? You'll be able to get confirmation and reports of payments and things like that, waivers. And, you know, these are other things that you'll be able to do as an employer you just couldn't do on the old system. You can request refunds online, submit tax appeals electronically, set up deferred payments plan, power of attorneys, report zero wages. All of, view your rates, what makes up those rates. So that's basically, of the five things, the Enterprise Resource Program, the back office staff, that was done. We went live with that in October of last year. Still working out the bugs, but that one's check. This one is the next check mark because it's happening on Monday. So the governor said about a month and a half ago, okay, so you've really made a lot of progress, IDES. Great job. What's next? I mean, you still got a year and a half to do stuff. And so we put together these three next lifts for our agency because basically all five of those, through awesome work by a lot of folks, they're going to be done hopefully by February of this year of next year. So these are the next three that we're teeing up, and we want to have them done by December of 2018. We're going even deeper on the reemployment initiative. I mean, I got UPS telling me they need 2,000 jobs in Rockford. I've got employers all over the state saying, we're dying on the vine here. Help us out. We've got to do better there, and we're going deeper over the course of the next year, and we've got several specific things that we're going to be rolling out. The very last piece of the technology packages that we really need to work on is to move the benefit charging system to modernize that and put it into the benefit information system. And when we do that, we will have a fully integrated tax system and benefit system and one of the most modern in the country. So that's all going to happen over the course of the next three or four quarters. And then these workforce outcomes pieces, I mean, it's not just getting people to go to work. It's getting them with the right skills. And how are we doing as a state in preparing our kids for the jobs today and 10 years from now? With the workforce, you know, what we've done, I get these wage records every quarter, 6 million of them. And we've got them going back to at least 1999. We've been able to link those up in a partnership with ISAC and the Board of Higher Education, the Community College Board, and now the State Board of Education. We've been able to link those to completers in each of those systems. So if you want to know how a Western Illinois history major compares to a Northwestern Illinois history major in terms of the weight, the starting wage, the wage growth 4 years out, the employment job, the job you get initially and the job you migrate to over 4 or 5 years, we've got that kind of data, and it's going to shake it up. It's going to shake it up big time. Community colleges are going to be able to say, these are the programs that we do very well as evidenced by. And it's not going to be all these inputs. It's going to be how their completers are doing in the workforce. And they're going to be able to compare their stuff to the other guy. More importantly, the parents and the kids are going to be able to do that same thing. That's what this little workforce outcomes thing is. And we're going to be sharing it with the governor. We've already done the Board of Higher Education, we've done the Community College Board as pilots. We're going to be sharing with the governor next month the broader scene. So it's all good stuff. And the whole point is, and this, more information about the point of all this change that I'm talking to you about in my agency, in our agency, in the state's agency for employment security, that's a proxy for all the stuff that's been going on that's great in all of those other agencies, because they each had to submit plans, and I don't know that they were all that much different from mine in terms of the stretch those agencies were required to make. So it's happening. It's not a room filler, it's not a headline getter, but you know what? I want you to take heart. This is what at least for this old guy's probably last job, this has just been one of the most rewarding times in my life. Getting to work with people at all levels of the agency and seeing them catch fire. Seeing them say, I wish we could have done this sooner. You know, when I walked through, I left a couple weeks ago, about 9 o'clock one night, and our office is right down here in the old Carson Pierce guy. Oh, you had a quarter of the revenue staff still there. These are union and non-union. These are folks that do collections, do audits, do file maintenance. And they're there just trying to make sure this goes off as smooth as that registration did last year with the job seeker. These folks have been killing themselves. At the huddle this morning that we went to, which is the final huddle before the final system is closed down tonight, one of the folks that's been in that room, middle tier, you know, not a leader, so to speak, but boy, what a job he's done. And he's led in his own way. He said, I don't think you understand the culture change that this project has brought to us. You know, we used to, if you wanted to get somebody to do something different, type it up and send it over, and we'll get back with you 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. He said, we are working together as a team like we have never worked before. And this is, you know, this has been the best, most needed thing we ever needed to do. Now, that is for revenue. I get the same out of service delivery with all of the things we're trying to do to serve the claimants out in our local offices and online. I get the same from our back office folks, although we still have some major issues with them. Everybody, the change that we were able to do, the previous administration couldn't. They didn't have the resources. They had to make the agency fit the resource. But we've had the luxury and we've had the ability with the people that have signed on and that have gotten re-energized. We've been able to do some of this. And what we've done, Department of Financial Professional Regulations done, I was told they had zero licenses online when they started. Now they got 80%. That's huge. I mean, what, 1.2 million license holders? Wow. Anyway, so I guess I should ask if there's any questions, and I hope you don't have any hardballs, because I'm just a direct... Thank you very much.
So at church, they tell you when you've really missed a good sermon, you really missed something. I have to say that while we've got a more intimate crowd today, I think that those of us who work in the financial district, everybody should have been here today. I really just feel like that. I think we should have. I mean, this was really good information. I'm going to need a cheater to go back and read everything because that was so many numbers. But because we learned really, really good stuff at Western Illinois. I don't know about you guys at Northwestern, but you know.
Great school.
I don't know. Senator Dillard and I are proud leathernecks.
And Christy, I mean,
and Rob too. That's right. I don't know about you and Karen. You know, Northwestern folks. Northwestern. Again, thank you so much, Mr. Mays. We do have a few questions.
Thank you.
Do we have any others before we get started? Because there are only a few. Did you write it down? Okay. So why don't you write yours, and then I'm going to get started on these. Me? Someone. Latrice will take it from you. Okay. So I'm going to get started. You talked a little bit about the, this has no name on it, so normally I don't ask these, but I will because it's a smaller crowd today. You talked a little bit about the average case backlog. I think you pretty much covered this person's question. Someone said they've been waiting for over 2 years for a conference. I think with the technology and things that you guys have put into place, I think you probably already talked about that, but if you want to say something about it, you can.
You know... Again, the challenge for the previous administration was to make the agency fit the resource.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that slipped. And it had to be very, very tough for them. Mm-hmm. I think that through the modernization, through the improvement, I mean, our data is, we've got all but four major populations that have been validated. And that was never even, I mean, that was so bad back. I mean, when did you have the ability, the money, the people to even do those kinds of things. So we're getting there. I think we're getting, I don't know if it's a tax case or an adjudication case, but if that person wouldn't mind coming up to me after the visit, I'd be glad to sit down with them and see where their situation is.
Or if you want to see one of the City Club staff, we can probably get you in touch with Monica or somebody from the office. Okay. Judy Thornburr, are you here? Hi, Judy. She's asked the question, can you talk about any programs that you're working on for the elderly and employment?
No. we actually have, through Illinois Jobs, we manage the Illinois Labor Exchange. So any jobs that are available by any employer that's got a federal contract has got to be registered with all of their applicants. But in terms of specific outreach for older Illinoisans, no. It's the same for all Illinoisans. There are some programs that we manage where employers are eligible to get tax credits for employing people that are disadvantaged or coming out of incarceration or those kinds of things. And we do have specific programs that are geared toward the employer that encourage them to hire the harder-to-hire populations. But there's nothing specific that I can think of for elderly.
The next question is from Cindy Tomey from the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Are you here, Cindy?
I am.
Oh, okay. What industries are struggling to get quality applications, and what initiatives are underway at the IDEAS to assess companies facing this particular issue?
I tell you, in every region of the state, you've got different employment clusters. Jack, you're familiar with this, having been a DCEO for a period of time. You have different clusters that are huge. It might be a logistics cluster out in Rockford or down in Decatur. It may be a manufacturing cluster at Peoria, Rock Island. I tell you, we do job fairs and employment events all over the state with legislators, through our local offices. Whenever an employer has a specific need and comes to us and wants to see what kind of things we can do for them, we will hold those fairs for them in our offices or in that community with a group of employers to try to get the connections made. I've been to fairs in the last 2 weeks in Ottawa, Rock Island. There was one I missed on the south side that was supposedly awesome. Over, I think, 7,000 jobs were available to be handed to folks that were qualified. So those are the kinds of things. I mean, the clusters that I always hear about are transportation, logistics, health care, IT, and manufacturing. Those are the big ones. And we could always find, there's plenty of jobs for those kinds of folks with those kinds of skills.
Sandra Gates, was that? Okay, she's here, over there in the corner, from the Quinn Center, is asking how secure are your job matching systems and what are your offices doing to stay ahead of any hackers? It's a good question.
I don't know how many of you are aware, but last March, I got a call that no director wants to get. It said somebody had hacked into our job labor exchange, okay? And the initial caller said they are estimating 459 records for breach. Wow. That's out of the millions that we've got, 459. I hate it, but I'll send them personal letters. As it turned out, we had 1,000,002 records that were breached after the dust had settled. Now, Illinois JobLink is a vendor for the state of Illinois. Our friends at the Department of Information Technology, Kirk Lombaugh, was awesome. They're in charge of cybersecurity for the whole state now. That was never around before this agency and Do It brought it all together. We had a full response. It was very unfortunate that had happened. But to my knowledge, I think that's the only system that has been breached, and it was a vendor system. So we hope with the new security measures that we've got, it will never happen again. But that's how vulnerable this state is. I mean, that's how vulnerable And I can tell you, I feel we're much, much more secure having had the experience,
which I hated,
and then having really upgraded the kinds of response that you deserve as a state. So they're as secure as you can get, I think. Never secure enough when that first hack happens.
Marcia Kate Katz, okay. Governor State, what are you're retired from Governor State, is that correct? Okay. On the job training, what are you doing for someone who would like to sign up for that? Is there a program you can direct her to?
Illinois has gone through a whole reorganization of all of its agencies involved in reemployment. Our agency is focused on the initial, I'm unemployed, how do I get by the next week? And when people apply to us, we require them to register on the job exchange, and we also then do assessments with them. We call them into our offices if needed, and we try to link them up if training is needed. If they want to start a new career in a different cluster, we try to line them up with you with the college, community college board, or the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. They manage the actual training programs for the state of Illinois.
This is a very similar question. Okay. Sorry. This is a very similar question from Andy Grabemeyer. Is Andy here? Okay, from Lumity. Very similar, but the final question. With WI being implemented and a budget finally passed, how can Illinois ensure that employers participate in designing training and education programs to meet our growing needs and our ever more quickly changing workforce?
You know, I believe there's more engagement from the employer community and
we just talked about that.
The OAS system, because all of the agencies, all the four core agencies, DHS, Department of Human Services, ours, Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, and the Community College Board, all of them are finally really pulling together. So I believe there's a lot more concerted and outreach to the employer community than there's ever been, and I think it's going to be much, much more effective as we go. We've got Kara Norrington Rees right here with the Cook Partnership. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road on those kinds of things. So we've got those kinds of partnerships all over the state. I've got 26 of them. And they know the communities. They know what the needs are. And I think that if our agency can't assist, their agency sure as heck can.
Yeah.
And they happen to be our partners. Isn't that nice?
I'm biased, but I think Karen's a great partner. So
there you go.
I think we probably could sit down and have a round table with Mr. Mays for the next hour, but I'm assuming everybody probably needs to get back to work, or at least we're supposed to, right? We're not done yet.